Game 4 of the ALDS in Detroit. Riley Green go-ahead homer in the sixth inning. 4-3 ball game. Detroit is up. Back against the wall, down 2-1 in the series. Winner go home time for them. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. It's the 5 p.m. hour presented by Goo Greek Moving and Storage. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Catt. If you missed any of the show today, go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Just go to Russo and Rizzo or download the ESPN South Florida app, free to download on the App Store, and listen to us just about anywhere. Go start your day with a victory. Go start your day with a win. Go over to F45 Downtown West Palm Beach. Check out their Instagram, F45 Downtown West Palm Beach. For those people who just want to get into shape, it's the best thing for it because it's class style. You show up and everything you're going to do is already set in stone in terms of a program. It's 45 minutes. You're not there for any longer than you need to be. And you get in now just enough to get that heart rate raised and for you to feel good about the rest of your day. Leave with a good sweat and honestly feeling nimble, loose, mobile. That's what it's meant to do. It's the functional side of working out. It's not necessarily lifting the most weight in the world, but it's about feeling functional. Men, women of alike of all fitness levels can go to F45. Check it out today. The downtown West Palm Beach location. Find a studio near you online at F45. Christian Catt is our producer behind the glass today. Christian, hello. What's going on?
Not too much. How are you?
I'm fine. And I think the fact that we got 4 baseball games today, I'm a happy camper. I imagine you're in a good spot with Cam Schlittler on the mound against the bullpen game for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah. My Yankees fandom has had a consistent deterioration through the years.
Really?
When you work in sports broadcasting, you're not able to really watch as much as you used to when you did growing up. But once the playoffs roll around, I feel like I'm 13 years old again, standing in front of the TV, living and dying with every pitch, becoming a child and complaining and then erupting when Aaron Judge did what Aaron Judge did last night. So, yeah, I'm emotionally vulnerable, but that's okay.
And you expect now, back against the wall again, heroics? Or is this going to be an easy one?
You know, bleep if I know. Like, I really, like, I expect
think this is
win.
Going to be an easy game.
Really?
If there is a game for them to win, this will be the easy one.
Nothing
has been easy for them so far. Toronto's not going to score 8 runs every game. They can't do that.
The fact that it's a bullpen game makes me happy. With situation.
It might be one of those games, if the Yankees strike first and fast, the Blue Jays are not going to get their best guys out there. I mean, hitting-wise, it'll be the same guys, but especially arms.
Yeah, it'll be an arms
race for game five. They're going to be like, all right, we're going to play for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And I think,
or play for Friday, excuse me.
And then it'll be on, all right, can Schlittler hang on for 8 innings like he did in the wild card series? Because that's what's going to be asked of you in order to prepare for game 5, because we need to save as many arms as possible. So it's going to be very exhilarating to watch tonight. I'm happy that it's an hour earlier. 7 o'clock first pitch instead of an 8 o'clock first pitch.
It's where no Barrios hurts Toronto, by the way.
They didn't have that, or Bassett. You know, they don't have that guy. Nonetheless, let's bounce around. Let's do a little 5 and 5% of Flagler Credit Union.
5 topics.
High five.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Let's get out of here.
Endless takes.
You can't handle the truth.
All gas, no brakes.
And it's shaking, Big Ten.
It's time for the 5 at 5.
Hold on to your butts.
Presented by Flagler Credit Union, proud supporter of FAU Athletics. Number 1.
Well, live right now on FS1 is the other ALDS series. Mariners, Tigers. Tigers have a 1-run lead right now, and they've got some insurance on second base on a very questionable fair or foul call down the line, a chopper that went over the base with a lot of side spin on it. So it landed foul after hitting the ground fair. Regardless, who's the best team in the American League right now?
It's Toronto. It's Toronto in terms of playing like it. It's definitely Toronto. Toronto has shown that they have had enough arms to last them, at least on the front end of things, and their offense is by far the best of any team playing right now. By far. In terms of playing in the last week, in the last 4 or 3 games, what we could say, they played the best.
It was 6-1 before the Yankees, you know, and the captain Aaron Judge were able to lead that comeback. I got to agree with Colin. Toronto has surprised the heck out of me. I thought the Yankees were going to wrap this thing up quite quickly. By the way, Detroit scoring, it's now 5-3, no outs in the 6th. But I thought the Yankees were going to handle the Blue Jays pretty handedly. You got to give them credit, though. I mean, Vladdy Guerrero is smashing the ball. They have a lineup that Willie, it's just playing home run derby at this point. I agree with Colin. I don't think that's going to last the entire time. I do think the Yankees win tonight with Schlittler on the mound. And I hope that, I don't want to say I hope the Yankees win because I can't stand the Yankees. And Christian, as you know, I root for you guys to lose. But I agree with you in the sense of I think it'd be good for baseball. And I'm a big baseball fan. I think it'd be good for the sport if the Yankees were in the ALCS. And I think they would do well viewership-wise.
I want to see Vesevage and Gausman versus that Yankee lineup in Toronto and see if the Yankees have little stones. It's easy to win at Yankee Stadium. Can you win outside of Yankee Stadium? That's the real question.
A lot of chatter about sign stealing.
That's when you know the team
cooking.
Is playing well.
There's
a
home cooking going on.
They were fine yesterday. I can't listen to that. That's when you know the team is really playing well, when everybody's saying, investigate them.
You see these side-by-side home and away splits? Huh.
Yeah.
How are you only 41-40 on the road?
Like every other team in the Major League Baseball. When the other team is investigating, you know it's a problem.
The Astros did irreversible damage to baseball and baseball discourse.
Yeah.
Any team that's better at home is going to be criticized.
And any team that's great offensively and just like... It feels funny whenever they get big hits. Why are they getting big hits? Because my team doesn't get big hits. Why are they doing it? They must know the pitch that's coming.
You timed that pitch pretty well. You knew the 12-6 curveball was going to be over the plate, didn't you?
Yeah. You're right. Irreversible damage. They've damaged everybody's attention span. That's
why
it is.
That's why everyone involved should have been banned from the league that was on that Astro team. The fact that Hinch is still managing is a disgrace.
Right. Number two.
Let's go to the NFL, where we saw some pretty hefty fines levied in the past 24 hours. First, in Arizona. The couple of days after suffering the worst loss in football regular season history, Arizona Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon was fined $100,000 for a little bit of a push, a little bit of a jab, a downright physical altercation with his running back, DeMarcado, after his running back fumbled the football out the back of the end zone when it looked like he had a surefire 72-yard touchdown. $100,000 fine to the head coach for how he handled himself on the sideline. That fine was delivered by the Cardinals. The NFL has fined Jerry Jones $250,000 for flipping the bird to fans at MetLife Stadium when the Cowboys blew out the New York Jets. Which of these fines is more deserved? Jerry Jones for sticking the middle finger up at Jets fans, or Jonathan Gannon for shoving his running back for an inexcusable fumble?
I don't know which I... dislike. I don't think the Jerry Jones thing is bad at all. I mean, it's the owner. I mean,
yeah,
he can do whatever
the
hell he wants.
I don't care about
Am
you.
Am I the only one who thinks that this Jonathan Gannon thing is completely overblown?
Overblown because he got fined?
I don't think it's a big deal. I don't.
It was inexcusable for the running back to do that, and they lost the game because of it.
That was a huge play. It was a mind-numbingly stupid play.
It was.
Is the coach not supposed to yell at the player? Do we realize that the players are also making millions of dollars? Everybody goes back to the grown man argument. You are held accountable by your coach. You're a player. If it was you play for yourself and that's it, then there would be no coaches.
It's 2025, so he's going to get fined. Back in the day, they wouldn't even have batted an eye. That's my two cents on it.
I agree. I wasn't throwing a fit over it. I don't think it's a big deal. The fact that there was a little bit of an altercation, I do think it looks poor when the coach loses his cool like that. Comparatively to not losing his cool,
he needs to be steady.
You need to be steady. If you want to right the ship, you need to be steady. It's a little different when you're a established coach, and then when you lose your mind, everybody knows, oh, we got to lock in. Jonathan Gannon, we're talking about. You know, it's not a great old time. It's not Tom Landry. All right? So because of that, it's a little different. But I also think the guy made an inexcusable play. And you can make the argument he cost him the game. You could definitely make the argument he was a part in costing them the game. But he did it, and then the team still capitulated after that. Still Mike's word. So that's why there's both sides are wrong, but I do think it's an overblown situation. The fact that he did some immoral, inconceivable action by getting upset at this play.
I'm with Colin. Overblown. Flip side. DeMarcado, you've never scored in the NFL before. Why are you throwing... Like, don't you want that ball? Aren't you taking
point.
That ball home with you? Aren't you framing this football? Why are we throwing the football? Now, granted, I had him in fantasy and I started him. It almost came down to that. But thankfully, Dalton Kincaid was able to do something on that godforsaken Sunday night football game because I had James Cook and he put up a stinker. It almost came down for me for that DeMarcado touchdown of losing fantasy. But my goodness, hang on to the football. It's your first one ever.
Number three.
We have got some juicy, juicy details coming out of the UNC Tar Heels football program that is off to a disastrous start to the Bill Belichick era. Check this out from Ali Connolly. He's a writer for the Guardian US. And here's what he had to say. Per sources, Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina's leadership. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in media. And the story continues as to where there are members of Belichick's coaching staff already speaking to other schools that are expected to be in the college football playoff. From one coach, quote, "The rats are leaving the ship." And then the story continues, a quote from one anonymous UNC defensive assistant. So there's a room of five people that might be in trouble. Quote, "What we've done to these kids is flat out bleeped up." What do you think is going to happen with UNC football?
This is bizarre. This is as bad as it gets. This is one of the worst hirings in the in sports history.
Hirings or results of the hire? I think if you ask all these college football programs, all these NFL football programs,
no, they would have done the same as what you're saying.
Unless you are, who is it that didn't hire Bill Belichick? The Falcons. Unless you're the Falcons.
Arthur Blank let him down. But I understand, but you only judge the hiring based on the result. You can't look at it in the perspective of where you were when you first hired him. I view it like Urban Meyer for the Jacksonville Jaguars was an awful hire. You don't do that because in the moment it was an awful hire. You do it because of how it turned out is a terrible hire. It's going to be one of the worst hires, and if it blows up like Ali Connolly is saying, then, especially midseason, it's going to be as bad of a hire for a program that is half in, half out to begin with, as sports has ever seen.
Christian, explain to me what people are saying again. Can you go back in that article again? What assistant coaches are saying again? This is fascinating.
So members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools that are expected to be in the playoff about taking on roles during this postseason.
Yeah, like consultant roles.
Too. So like Belichick and other coaches on UNC said the rats are leaving the ship.
There's reports of serious recruiting violations under investigation at UNC.
Wow.
If all of this is true, there will be a documentary airing about this, and it won't be by Hulu because that one's
Fire
Fest. They canceled it, right?
This is the Fire Fest of college football hires.
And not to mention how it all started with the girlfriend and the weirdness there, too.
That makes it different, too. That's not just a bad college job. That becomes a loud and weird. That word has been quoted in here several times. Just weird communication with staff. Just an odd, twisted last 12 months for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, if you're thinking about this from a perspective of where he should go from here, here's the idea, Bill. If you want to move on after UNC and you find a way out, you have more money than you need. That's number one. Number two, hopefully you don't need a landing spot in media or for another team. You need a landing spot on the couch, and you need to enjoy retirement for what it is because you've had a great career and hang it up because you're hurting your reputation every waking second you're still involved
with UNC. Well, and the issue, like, no NFL team wanted to hire him, by the way. Like, let's go back to that. We said it was the Falcons. The Falcons were the only ones considering him. No one else was even considering him. What did that tell you? I don't know. I feel like those would have been red flags. So I don't blame North Carolina for doing this. Let me make that clear. I don't blame them for hiring Bill Belichick. I blame Bill Belichick for turning this into a circus. Shame on him. And I do think Bill Belichick is the best coach of all time, with all due respect to the Shula family.
You're hurting your reputation.
But this is ridiculous. How is it this bad? They got bamboozled by Clemson. They weren't even playing the same sport. And Clemson stinks.
Number four.
Or is it number three?
If you're ever wondering, that Brady versus Belichick couldn't be more clear as day. Because one left and he saw an unbelievable amount of success, and the other one has not. other than being an assistant, you know, with the Giants, Parcells, that's a little different. But ever post that, post Brady, Belichick's done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, some guys, when they have their midlife crises, they buy a sports car, and some guys take over a Power 4 football program.
And burn it to the ground.
Like, this is crazy.
And burn it to the ground. That is what UNC is. And now UNC is going to invest all this money, and they're going to try to convince these same boosters for the poor next guy who's going to have to salvage this mess. Poor guy.
And remember, the whole plan was a succession process to going to his son?
To Steve Belichick. You can forget that.
Yeah. Like, but then poor Steve.
Yeah. Steve, where does Steve go now?
Left a pretty good job as a Washington defensive coordinator, by the way. I think he was under DeBoer for a couple
of
years. Could have went to Alabama.
That's pretty crazy.
Number four.
Well, we've waited long enough. I think it's been about 30 minutes since we discussed Aaron Judge hitting a home run last night.
Two-strike pitch. It's a drive down the line. If it's fair, it's his moment. It is. It's tied. Judge has arrived.
Aaron Judge, the three-run blast in last night's win or season over ALDS Game 3 in the Bronx. Got a couple of questions on this. First and foremost, is Yankee Stadium the best place to host a playoff game?
No.
Sounded like it.
No.
Looked like it.
Don't do this.
Felt like
this
it.
This is a biased question. No, it's not.
I asked. I didn't.
Old Yankee Stadium, I never had the pleasure. I was too young for it. Old Yankee Stadium is widely known as the better playoff spot because of just it had the lore and the allure to it and the feel. New Yankee Stadium, I actually love New Yankee Stadium. I do. Because I don't have anything to compare it to in terms of the old Yankee Stadium. But I like it. It's not the best spot. It's not.
To watch on TV, I'm saying the New York crowd, the reactions they give. Is there a better visual than watching a playoff game in the Bronx?
There probably is, yes, because we see the Bronx every year. That's the thing. You see it every year.
So, boys,
how many playoff games have you watched in Seattle? You know, that's part you can't compare it to. And Seattle has a great crowd. It's just the problem is they're either at 3:08 in the afternoon or they're at 10:08 at night, and those poor fans in Seattle haven't seen a playoff game. They're crying in a game two of the NLDS. Which is why, I mean, we see the Yankees a lot. I do agree, though. The crowds have been awesome at Yankee Stadium. It was great in Game 2 against the Red Sox. It was great in Game 3. I mean, like, they've been superb.
Yeah, I mean, and that's no secret. The Yankees have one of the best home field advantages. I mean, I've never been to either stadiums, as terrible as that is. I was never at the house that Babe built, and I've never been to New Yankee Stadium. I've never even been to the city before.
I think Citizens Bank might be good in Philadelphia. They have a pretty good raucous fan base.
Great ballpark, too. I only went for a regular season game, but a great ballpark.
Yeah, they're done.
I think that's very underrated.
They're done.
I think Dodger Stadium's great, too. I don't know
it
if you've
is.
Ever been there.
I've been there.
Dodger Stadium's
like
a great stadium. The problem with Dodger Stadium is it's impossible to get there. But once you're in there, it's fantastic.
Stole the words right out of my mouth. Phillies are done.
Number five.
That was number five, wasn't it?
Since yesterday's Aaron Judge three-run home run to tie the ball game up. Does that admonish all of his playoffs ghosts in the past?
The thing about Judge is he's been so weird because when he first started his career, 2017 against the Astros to be specific, and that was the year that they were cheating when the Yankees lost every single road game in that series. He was good in that postseason. That was the MVP year that he got robbed from Altuve. And you can make an argument that even 2022 he had his moments. It was last year being up in and out a couple moments against the Guardians, but a couple moments against the Dodgers. That was one where he was really under the microscope. 2021. I mean, he's had ups and downs. But, I mean, now with that moment, the stats look a lot better. And that's what baseball is. It's stats with context. And now that you have the stats where he's hitting, you know, you saw it in the broadcast last night. He's hit 500 with a 500 OBP and a 1300 OPS. You're seeing all that. And now with that moment attached to it, I do think it does a little bit. It vindicates him a little bit because if they are able to continue this, and he needs to play great tonight because you put yourself – he was part of the reason they're in this hole.
If he goes 0-4 and the Yankees win, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all.
I disagree because
really?
He's part of the reason that they blew game one. I mean, he was part – that bases loaded, when he's at a 3-2, no outs.
Most uncompetitive
pitch. They got blown out in that game anyway.
I know, but that changed the game. It was a two-run ball game. That's where it's impossible.
And to Colin's point, he swung at the most uncompetitive pitch I've ever seen. I agree with you
that will be memorable. But if they lose the next night, that shelf life is not going to last as long as you think.
Listen, Judge is the best player in Major League Baseball. You tell me, Yankee
best hitter,
fan, if you lose tonight, is it going to change any? Is the home run last night going to do anything for you? For me, as a Guardian fan, I think, you know, Judge hitting that home run, yeah, hell yeah, that's going to change the tide for me. But you're the Yankee fan. You tell us if
you have
to
win tonight. You have to win tonight.
I look at Aaron Judge differently now than I did before last night's game.
You have to win tonight.
Even if they lose tonight.
You have to win tonight. I disagree with that. I'm
just
surprised.
Seeing that pit, it cannot be over. It's impossible to overstate how difficult it is for him to hit that baseball for a home run and keep it fair.
I agree
that
with
that speed, riding on the hands. It didn't, like, if you were watching that game, you assumed it was foul.
Right.
When you saw it fall from the heavens and clank off the foul pole, it was unbelievable. Judge couldn't believe that he hit it. He stayed at the plate.
I do understand what you're saying. I really do. But now you got to make it worth it. Fill the moment and finish the moment. And I'm not saying you need to come back and win, but you need to force a game five. You need to force
a
game five.
But if the Yankees win and Aaron Judge does not do anything, I think that's totally fine.
Totally fine. Totally fine because he won them in some capacity. Yeah. He won them game three. Yeah. That's what it is. Basically, he doesn't need to win them every game.
You need to be good in big spots.
You can't be terrible tonight and have another high-leverage situation, men on first and third, and not get anything. If that happens again, then we're going to be back to square one.
Right, because it's an elimination game.
If they lose.
They lose.
It's an elimination.
If they lose. But I look at Judge. Judge is graded on a different scale because he should be, because he is a Yankee all-time regular season great. He is not a Yankee all-time postseason great.
It's the only franchise we do that with.
It's the only franchise we do that with for good reason. Because they have four of the best seven players in the history of baseball. So that's why it's tricky. But I understand from a perspective that that was his moment. Joe Davis was 100% right in the call. That was the moment. But it is the divisional series. If you come out, you somehow win this series, and then he stinks against the conference series, and they lose in five games against the Seattle Mariners, then what are we doing?
Christian, heavy is who wears the crown when you have 27 championships, mate. It's the only franchise that does it, and it'll always be the only franchise that is judged off.
And he's 1 October away, and he's having an October right now. With the stats and the context, this is the October that Judge needs. Now you got to finish it.
People wear the Yankee hat without even knowing what the Yankee hat is. That's the team you are.
The playoffs started 8 days ago. A Judge October does not constitute 8 days. It doesn't. You need more than this.
Colin, I'll never forget. I'm walking Los Angeles with my Uncle Johnny. I had to be like 14 or whatever. Very loud, obnoxious Cleveland fan at the time. I look at the woman on the street. I say, you know, go Indians. She like looks at me and she actually like stops and goes, what are you talking about? I said, you have a Yankee hat on. She goes, I didn't even know. Who are the Yankees? Well, stick with me for the rest of time. That's the brand. It's cool to wear that brand that woman was wearing. Well, stick with me for the end of time.
Well, yeah.
Wearing a Yankee hat because it's a...
Yeah, they do it in L.A. West Coast, though.
Yeah, Dodger hat is another popular hat.
But it's like, not like...
Not the Yankees, not no. The Yankee.
Not
I know.
Not the pinstripes.
So you're going to generalize the entire fan base because that one woman did not know she was wearing a Yankee
Colin,
hat?
She wasn't even a baseball fan. She was wearing it because it's fashion.
Yeah, that's not a Yankee fan. That's a person wearing a Yankee.
But that's what the Yankees are. What I'm trying to say is that's what the Yankees are.
Right. Bigger than baseball.
When Christian says only franchise to do it, brother, 27 championships. That's what they are. The Yankee Clipper, my favorite, Joe DiMaggio. Everyone's got a favorite Yankee.
Aaron Judge is the greatest Yankee to never win a World Series already. Like Mattingly, you have a case for.
Oh, yeah, Don Mattingly was.
But
like
Mattingly was not the level of baseball player than Aaron Judge.
He definitely, yeah, because everybody else has won championships. That's not the compliment you think it is.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Everybody else won multiple championships.
Correct.
Nonetheless.
The Yankee Clipper is the Yankee Clipper because of championships and the success they were able to have with them.
You want to get your fitness into shape, you want to get your nutrition into shape, go to Vitacost Sports Certified Marketplace because it's built for athletes, people who are fitness enthusiasts who like to train hard and understand the benefits of what clean supplementation and nutrition can do for you. Whether you're prepping for a triathlon, you're grinding at the gym, just trying to be a little bit more health conscious. When I was training for my Ironman, I don't know where I would have been without my protein, electrolytes, fish oil, creatine that I all got from Vitacost Sports Certified Marketplace. You know it's the best because their Sports Certified Marketplace has over 400 products and they're all certified, which means that they're free of any banned substances to level up your game. And that, I got my plant-based protein from there, so it's perfect on the gut. You know it's a high-quality type of protein. You can visit vitacost.com/sport-certified to make that purchase today and get 20% off if you use your code ESPN20. ESPN20, level up your game at Vitacost. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Tigers got a commanding lead over the Mariners, and the Cubs and the Brewers are tied at one apiece. Bottom one, bases loaded. Pete Carl Armstrong against Quinn Priester on the mound. The Cubs looking to establish a little bit of momentum at Wrigley Field. Down 2-0 in the series, a huge at-bat. 1-1 count, now 2-1 count. We'll give you an update about that. But if you wanted to live bet and get started and see, maybe sprinkle a little action on the Cubs, you can do that on the Hard Rock Bet app.
Every pitch, every swing, folks, it means a little bit more in October. And on Hard Rock Bet, you could get in on postseason moments right now in the palm of your hand. If you don't want to sweat all nine innings, that's fine. You could try betting inning by inning. Step up to the plate today. You might just hit the big one. And, folks, hockey is back. We are the current home of the Panthers. We are the new home, rather, of the Florida Panthers. So while you're listening to the game on ESPN 106.3, you could bet on the game with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Also, last week, one bettor turned a $20 three-leg first to score parlay touchdown into a massive $12,000 win. What are you waiting for? Get involved with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Download the app today, Apple App Store, Google Play Store. That is our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That is 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
Two-run single by Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah.
3-1, bottom one. Two outs, boy, did he need that. And Quinn Priester is already off the mound, making a change. Milwaukee is going to be bullpenning this the rest of the way. How about that in terms of some baseball postseason action, the divisional series? You get a four-gamer today because you got the Mariners and the Tigers, which at the end of the seventh inning, Tigers are up 8-3. Cubs are up 3-1. You got the Blue Jays and the Yankees starting at 7:08 on FS1. And to finish off on True TV and HBO Max, the Dodgers and the Phillies, with the Phillies down 2-0 in the series on that front. Now, let me ask you this. Is Urban Meyer a worse hire for Jacksonville than Bill Belichick was for North Carolina? Because it's weird, because it's similar situations. You have a legendary college coach trying to dance around in the NFL when he didn't need to. Nobody expected
Remind me when Uncle Herb quit Jacksonville. What was it,
I
week
wanna
seven?
Say, no, it was. I would say like, I want to say it was like 11 or 12.
Okay, so he didn't, it was later than I expected, but he did quit midseason first year.
He was out.
I had
to double check
and
that.
And famously, Colin, he was calling people losers.
Kicked the kicker.
Kicking Josh Lambeau, I believe, yes, the kicker at the time. That was a mess. I mean, I got to wait for more info because we found out the Urban stuff after he resigned.
Remember that week three Monday night game when they were playing Cincinnati? They had that terrible loss, and then he stayed behind when the team went home and he was at that bar, and there was that video of Uncle Herb at the bar with the girl.
It was his own bar. By the way, it was his own bar.
It doesn't matter. I mean, get out of there.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but he was, you know, fishing for coins. But, you know, that was a bad look. That was certainly a bad look for
Uncle Herb. That was a new low for NFL
head coaches. That really was. And there were also instances with Herb with, like, his buddy in the background. And, you know, he's had a couple of bad looks in the past. But, listen, I think when it comes to the question you asked me, I got to wait for more information about this Belichick thing. I'm pretty sure Herb won a game. I don't know.
He did.
I'm pretty sure Uncle Irv won.
I have to double check. It's so hazy.
He won a game. I'm about 95.
I believe he did as
well. About 95%.
I should know that. Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, Colin, I don't think Belichick's going to win a single game.
They won two games that year. Go ahead.
They're defeated.
No, but they
haven't won a game.
You're talking about conference games. Belichick, they've won the tune-up games. They beat the down on Charlotte. And they beat down on Toledo. But yes.
But at the same, I think as far as the ACC, they might not win a game. And the moment I'm going to remember Belichick for was the TCU game. They score a touchdown, and he doesn't even celebrate. And I mentioned in the 5-5-2, this all started with people speculating about the girlfriend, literally being worried about Bill Belichick, like worried for that something was going on, that she had leverage or whatever. I'm not going to go into it. But I think Belichick, because of the whole girlfriend thing and what happened there, and I know Herb had his moment with the young lady at his bar, but I think Belichick, for what I just said, the girlfriend ending the interview, they canceled that spectacle they wanted to do too. So like, I think there's just more there for Belichick.
Right. And
I think
Meyer, there's more there. Meyer was 13 games into the season. 13 okay. games.
And they won games as well.
Yes.
Because
it was such a disaster off the field that they got rid of him and then eventually went on to
If
Peterson.
They went defeated, you know, it'd be hard to argue that the guy didn't win a game. You know, and Belichick won against godforsaken State, but once they started playing real NCAA teams, it's been a nightmare.
Yeah, because that big game I remember they did have is they beat Josh Allen and the Bills, who were good, and they won in some awful. It was like 9-5 or something like that. It was a terrible, terrible game, and that was one of the namesake victories for Urban Meyer on that front. On the side of the UNC thing, here's the thing about this. When you're an NFL team, you see it with Jacksonville this year. They were a mess, one of the worst franchises in the professional football, professional sports last year, and they're able to sort of turn it around, different feel, once you sort of gut the whole thing from the inside out and rebuild it. And it can happen quickly. College sports, it doesn't work like that.
No, God.
He is going to leave a long-lasting effect and impression on the boosters, on the organization, on the team, on the players, on the actual university. You're going to see his trail years after he left. That's why I think it's a bigger failure. It's because it's easier to sort of get back. It's not easier, but it's more possible to get back on your feet quicker when you're willing to gut the entire operation.
I want to make sure I'm right on this. I'm pretty sure, North Carolina, Mac Brown. Don't you wish they had Mac?
He was so old, but yes.
But at the same time, you fired Mac Brown in November of 2024. Hindsight 2020. Jeez, oh man. You fire one great to hire a great. And like, they need to go young coach route.
They just need to, rid themselves. I don't know what the contracts look like. They need to rid themselves of this. Oh,
it's
this
a $1 million. Christian explained it's a $1 million
that's
buyout.
That's a negotiated buyout because he wants out too. So he doesn't want to hang around either. But that's all alleged, according to Quinn Connolly.
Yeah.
Alleged recruiting violations. Who knows who they go after that? They need to rid themselves of everything involved with this.
Yes.
Get rid of general manager Mike Lombardi. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of his son. Get rid of all the players. And hopefully the new guy can invigorate a little bit of expenditure into the team from the boosters after they've been fooled once.
I'm trying to think. The Urban Meyer shout's a good one. So fair play to you there. I'm trying to think of more. Of like things that like Cleveland, we fired Rob Chudzinski after a year.
Right,
that was a nightmare. I'm trying to think of like what else just completely like.
I mean, who else did you have? You had Jackson and the 0-16 teams.
Well,
and then,
Hugh, and then he came. So Jackson went 1-31.
Yes.
All right, and then
he lasted 2 years,
and then he came back for a third.
Right,
and got fired after that. That was a mess. I'm trying to think of like the bad organizations here. Like Jacksonville, you guys had Urban. That was your thing.
Joe Judge with the New York Giants was as bad as it gets.
Dude, football guy? You mean hashtag football guy?
When they tried
guy,
to get a piece
Judge?
Of that. They're the last team to really fall for the trick of the Patriot bred guy.
I was just about to say.
I mean,
Belichick coaching.
It didn't work
tree.
With McDaniels. It didn't work with Patricia. He was sort of the last of the bunch to fall for it, and then Joe Judge was the end of the tunnel, and that was enough.
The Belichick coaching tree, right? Matt Patricia fell on his face multiple times before finding his home at with the Ohio State University.
You got to get the failed head coaches. Those are the best defensive coordinators.
Hang on, McDaniels.
It's a terrible one.
Remember, he went to Denver.
One of the worst hires in the history of the league.
Hold on, started 6-0 and I think didn't win a game after that and got fired, and then went to the Raiders, and Davante Adams and the whole locker room were dancing when the guy finally left. Who was good from that coaching tree? Billy O'Brien?
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, I really think Bill O'Brien was the only one who left on his own.
Part of it.
Never a coordinator. Never.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I mean? I think he was an offensive line coach.
I understand the shout.
I could be wrong. Could be wrong.
But and former player. But remember how passive aggressive he was with Belichick before the season
started?
Well,
there's animosity there.
Right. So, like, I don't. And Bill has said multiple times, what did he say about the Patriots?
What? With UNC?
Yeah, because remember.
Well, the story now is he's not letting UNC post any sort of pro Patriots, pro Drake May things when they post about all the other former players.
Right.
And their current pros. And they haven't done it with Drake May specifically and the Patriots because it's UNC and that's the Patriots.
Right.
And Drake May is royal blood at
North Carolina.
Yeah. His brother hit the game winner against Kentucky to send them to the Elite Eight. And then on top of that, their father was I believe his name is Mark May, played quarterback there in the 80s.
Yep.
That's royal blood. Can't touch that. Bill Belichick's on his way out. 888-760-3776. Is that the worst coaching hire in recent memory? Let us know. 888-760-3776. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo will close out the program next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
To close out the program here with four MLB games in the thick of it today, and you have bottom eight Tigers and Mariners going after it with each other, and the Tigers offense woke up past fifth inning, have torn apart the Mariners bullpen a little bit, and the Cubs, a big first inning for them, 4-1 ball game already. They look to start things off hot and hopefully get into the win column in that series. Let's talk about it this way. We have the teams that we sort of are rooting for. Of the teams, of the eight that are remaining all playing today, what would make for the matchups that you're rooting for versus the matchups that you think are best for the Major League Baseball?
The matchup that's best for Major League Baseball is a rematch of the Yankees and the Dodgers or the Cubs.
And what about Yankees, the conference, the championship series?
Would probably... I mean, no one wants to see Detroit. I would like to see the AL Central have some kind of success. But I think Mariners, Yankees on the AL side. And then on the NL side, Dodgers and Cubs. Dodgers, Cubs.
I think Dodgers, Yankees, Brewers would be Mariners. Better. I do like Dodgers, Brewers a little bit more.
But they want Chicago.
You need that underdog.
I agree. And I think the Brewers will ultimately... I'm rooting. I told you I've hitched my wagon to the Cubbies because of my past, but the Brewers I think are too good. I think they'll be able to figure it out. Like must win game five at home for them. They probably don't.
I mean,
that, right?
Let's see if the Cubs can even get out of today.
Oh, they'll get out of today. But Cubbies, Colin, the Chicago market, the Cubs, Dodgers. I mean, that's what the MLB is praying for Cubs and they're praying for Cubs and Dodgers and the Yankees to go to the World Series.
Yeah,
they'll take either one of those teams in the World Series, and they're praying that the Yankees get to the World Series.
It might not look good for TV. It'd be a good story for baseball for Seattle to get there.
It would be. You and I would like Seattle and Brewers.
It's a good story.
We'd like the Seattle and Brewers, but nobody else will.
That Seattle would be a good get for the World Series. A team that's never won, that would be a good one.
I would
what
prefer
we're looking,
that.
Rooting for.
And, you know, I can't stand the Yankees and the Dodgers. Like, you know, they spend way too much money. You know, screw them for so many words, honestly.
Probably the last couple
don't
years.
Win a damn thing.
Probably the last couple of years they could do that as well with their the salary cap that's probably going to come in the next CBA.
I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, though, because I like promoting baseball. I like, talking baseball. I want the sport to grow. You know, Colin, the reason my grandfather and my great grandparents, baseball was king. Baseball was the NFL. You know what I'm saying? So, like, And now that how big the NFL has become, I would like to see baseball come back a bit. And I sadly, matchups like the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Cubbies, you know.
You're rooting pro league.
I am. And with my team out at this point, I'm probably pro league more than anything.
I do that as well. I do pro storyline too. Who's the best story? That's why I like the Brewers and the Mariners in that sense. They're better stories than the Cubs moving on. The Dodgers are obviously the big bad. And the Phillies could have been a cool story for the Northeast rivalry, but Dodgers are the Dodgers. I'm not going to erase them. But, I mean, for the Brewers and the Mariners, it allows the two big bads versus the two up-and-comers looking to get an illustrious World Series win.
So the Yankees and the Dodgers are two teams who spend money because they have it. The Brewers and the Mariners, to an extent, they are teams who strategically spend cash. Now, the Mariners have recently gone for more recently with all this, but it'd be cool to see the Brewers because the way they kind of penny pinch and are forced to penny pinch because of the way they operate.
Two big bads, $200. That's who I'm rooting for the championship series. Cubs up 4-1. Tigers up big over the Mariners. We'll come back tomorrow with a full final slate. We'll see if anybody moves on yesterday. See if the Dodgers can close them out in three. Big thanks to Christian Katt keeping us up over the air today. If you miss any of the program, go listen to Russo and Rizzo on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, or download the ESPN South Florida app, and you could listen to us, Theo Dorsey, and Theoretically Speaking, the Florida Panther games all in one spot. Make sure you download it today. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.